Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the French Connections Part 2, this Tuesday, 13th day of June 2006. Darryl Bradford Smith with you again. Got a guest for you today, a friend of mine, somebody I've worked with over the, actually, it's turning into years now, and I say that proudly. His name is Ted Pike. First time I had Ted Pike on was about a year and seven months ago. We were fighting hate crime legislation, and I've had him on many, many times since to help me battle the battle for the facts, battle for the truth. And I'm very proud to have him with me here today to talk about a very important subject to many Christians out there. And I like to include many Christians in my fighting audience because they are the ones that I think need to be shown some facts more than just about any group. And that is that Zionism is not an ally or a friend of theirs, and that they need to be shown that certain facts are going to point to the perpetrators of who is really injuring Christianity and who's really benefiting it. And so, Ted Pike, it's great to have you here. How are you?
Real good. Thanks for having me, Darryl.
Well, Ted, as always, this is a battle that we're in. We've made some headway, but it's still an early days for this fight because we haven't got enough people awakened to the facts yet. I wanted to start today by talking about this film that was put together by Zionist Hollywood in order to subvert further Christianity, in your view. And you've been trying to point out the folly in this, the Da Vinci Code. And do you have something to say about that more than just that?
Yes. Well, almost everybody realizes that the Da Vinci Code is an unprecedented attack on Christianity and Jesus Christ. But most people don't know that the media giants who are orchestrating this attack are primarily Jewish. Now, Dan Brown is not Jewish. Dan Brown, the author of the book, The Da Vinci Code. But Sony Corporation, which is the force behind the Da Vinci Code movie, is the eye of this Jewish promotional octopus. And we can talk about that. I have quite a bit of documentation here if you'd like to go in that direction.
Well, I certainly would. Everyone probably thinks Sony is controlled by Japanese interests, and that would have been my guess before you saying that.
Well, what happened was in the late 1980s, the Japanese became very, very interested in the possibility of expanding their commercial supremacy to Hollywood. That was the golden age of financial indulgence and munificence in Japan. And so Sony of Japan bought out Metro-Goldwyn, Meyer, TriStar, Columbia Pictures, and United Artists in the late 1980s. And the former president of Jewish-owned CBS, which is Howard Stringer, a Jew, assumed second in command of Sony International. So in a nutshell, what we have is these Japanese moving into Hollywood, buying up all of these big studios like Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Columbia Pictures, and so on, knowing not the first thing about how to run Hollywood, a Hollywood movie company, and so on. So the Jews automatically moved over and basically said, well, we're experts in this business. And Howard Stringer, who was with CBS then, saw a wonderful thing. He rose in Sony of Japan to second in command today. But Sony split off into Sony of America, and Sony of America now is almost entirely controlled by Jews in the top echelon positions.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just give you a few of those. If you have any doubts about this, this is found at the Standard & Poor's directory at your local library, also the LexisNexis directory.
Very good. You have LexisNexis?
I don't have
it. Because I was going to have to start calling you up for searches there, Ted.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Emily Susskind is president of Sony of America.
Uh-huh.
Robert Wiesenthal is the executive VP and chief financial officer. Nicole Seligman is the executive VP and general counsel. Phil Weiser is chief technical officer and senior VP. Michael Fidler, Jr. is senior VP. Jay Samet is general manager of Connect, which is a technical service of Sony. And then Gretchen Griswold is director of corporate communications. Now, there's only one Japanese in that group, so we see a preponderance of Jewish names in the top leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to Columbia Pictures, which is the actual maker of the Da Vinci Code movie.
Yep.
And that's headed by Amy Pascal, a Jew, and she is also chairman of Sony's Motion Picture Group. That's Sony International's Motion Picture Group. And then the producer of the film, The Da Vinci Code, is Brian Grazer, a Jew. And then the screenplay was written by the well-known Jewish screenwriter, Akiva Goldsman. So very clearly, here is an ethnic group which comprises about 2.5% of the American population, and yet we find Sony of America almost completely dominated by these Jewish names.
Well, let me ask you a question, Ted. How closely does the film match the book, Dan Brown's book, first of all?
Well, it skims over a lot of details that's in the book, but the general message is there. That is that the New Testament record that Jesus was the Son of God, divine, and certainly was never married, is contradicted by this. This book is not only a broadside attack on the veracity of the biblical record, but it's a real body slammer against the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Now I'm not a Catholic. I'm certainly aware of a great many misdeeds of the Catholic Church, especially in the Inquisition, their behavior in the New World, and then the Counter-Reformation, and so on. But on the other hand, according to the definition of a hate crime in Canada or Europe or in Australia, New Zealand, this movie absolutely qualifies as an attempt to publicly hold up an established religion for hatred and contempt. And that is the definition of a speech crime or a hate crime in all of these countries which are under hate crimes bureaucracies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were to allege that there was some kind of a long-term conspiracy within Judaism, within the leaders of Judaism, the Sanhedrin of Judaism, to cover up the truth, to kill, murder, hound, and harass those who might expose a hidden conspiratorial agenda within Judaism over the centuries, if we were to suggest that laity and police chiefs and government officials and academia were working in collusion with these evil Jewish leaders to subvert the truth and
well, all those things sound factual to me. That sounds like what they are doing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those are all the definitions of a hate crime. You can't say those kinds of things in Canada. You can't say those kinds of things in...
So, in other words, you can't say the truth about what certain elements of the Jewish community have actually done over the last couple hundred years.
Absolutely not. You can't say those things in most hate crimes countries. Now, in hate crime strength countries, it's not an issue of whether it's true or not, but whether the members of some identifiable group have been harmed by your verbal violence or your verbal assault upon them. And the fact of the matter is that millions of Catholics now are victims of a hate crime, according
uh-huh.
to ADL definitions of what a hate crime is in these countries. And what I'm alleging, I have a new article out. It's entitled "How Catholics Can Combat the Da Vinci Code." And what I'm saying there is, they have every right. You see, they have every right to seek redress according to the law and file charges against the promoters and the distributors, the movie theaters of the Da Vinci Code in their country. Just as if a movie came out and was shown in Canada and France and Australia, which was blasting in public theaters everywhere the leaders of the Jews over the centuries for being some kind of a huge mafia persecuting those who might divulge their secret to the world. You see, so there's a tremendous double standard here. The ADL B'nai B'rith people, of course, established hate laws throughout the world for the purpose of inflicting harassment and persecution on Christians. And yet, in order to get these hate laws passed in all these countries, they had to concede that all religions, not just Judaism, would be protected from these kinds of verbal attacks. That's a little known fact, that Catholicism is just as protected according to hate law's doctrine and code than is Judaism.
Why has nothing happened in Canada then?
Yeah, well, nothing happens anywhere because the Christians are unaware, especially the Catholics who have been most aggrieved out of all of this, are unaware that they are victims of a hate crime. Every last one of them who's seen the movie or perused the book is now who's had their feelings bruised, who've been emotionally traumatized by this broadside on the Catholic Church. They are now victims of a hate crime according to the laws, hate crime statutes of their land. They have every right. They have just as much right as the Jew to go down to the local police precinct and to file charges against the distributors, promoters of the Da Vinci
Code. Now, I can do that here in France because this is a hate crimes country. And
if you are a Catholic,
my wife is, and
your wife. If your wife is a Catholic, has seen the movie and read the book, and has felt emotionally bruised by the message, the anti-Catholic message.
Mm-hmm.
The Da Vinci Code. She has a right to go down there, and nobody can stop her. Nobody can threaten her or intimidate her in any way, because she can. You can go to the internet there in France, and you can find the hate crimes statutes and codes for the nation of France. You will find there. I assure you that the Catholic religion is protected, along with Muslims, Jews.
Well, you know something, Ted. I've got to tell you that they have come out here when they were doing those blasphemous cartoons about Muslims. The Muslims did go down to the police departments and did say that we're outraged, and nothing happened.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. There is this ironclad control of ADL over the hate crimes bureaucracies in all the countries.
Mm.
We're going to have to face into this, and in my latest article, which is, by the way, reproduced in its entirety at truthtellers.org. That's truthtellers.org.
Or you can go right there from the French Connections website by pressing on Ted Pike's name, and you'll get right to his site as well.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm calling literally for millions. There's tens of millions of Catholics in the world who now are the victims of a hate crime, that is, those who are living in hate crimes countries, who need to get in touch with church leadership. They need to contact Catholic Lawyers Guild. They even need to contact the Vatican and urge the Pope to make some kind of a statement insisting upon equality of enforcement of hate crimes laws. Now, I don't like hate crimes laws. I believe they're unjust, they're a farce, and so on. But the fact of the matter is, they are a fact of life now, an emerging fact of life, especially with 55 nations joining in the ADL's Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They are, these hate laws are a fact of life, but what we have to do is to stimulate Catholics right now to take this golden opportunity to demand equal enforcement. Now, let's see what's going to happen if they do that. If we can get a tidal wave of Catholics enlightened concerning their prerogatives before the law, then there's a chance that rather than being swept under the rug and ignored and discounted, which is the traditional approach to Christians or whites or Catholics who are attempting redress of their grievance before the hate crimes people, if we have a tidal wave, then there is a possibility that some will be able to penetrate, will be able to get them adjudicated, will be able to get favorable legal precedents established. Now, when that happens, that is the worst nightmare that the ADL can imagine, because the very python, the very snake that they were hoping could only be used to asphyxiate and encircle and asphyxiate Christians will be loosed on them, you see, on them as well. This cobra will turn and bite them as well. Now, they didn't plan on that. They wanted it all according to their one-way direction against Christianity. But what this does, you see, it will neutralize the power of hate laws to be used as a vehicle and instrument against Christianity. And this is a very powerful idea, very hopeful idea, because it'll also raise the specter, the ghost, that in the future new productions, new blasphemous anti-Christian productions, might well be advised to stay out of these hate crimes countries because they could incur tremendous penalties and liability for the theaters and the promoters and the magazines and the broadcasters who promote that kind of sacrilege.
Well, you know, personally for me, I find the hate laws so offensive that you know, in the Christian faith that I saw growing up around me, people used shame to monitor and control people's behavior. They didn't have to turn to law for it. They did it with education and shame. If someone, they taught people not to to say horrible things against other people, first of all, and then they shamed you out of making those kinds of sick declarations. And so it was, free speech has always been sacrosanct to me, and my ability to investigate facts freely has always been something that I automatically kept as my birthright.
Yes.
And the fact that I'm sitting in a country right now where hate crimes is the law of the land, I mean, it stops me at the risk of losing my freedom from being free.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Well,
now. You know, one might ask, why would you want to be in that environment? Well, my goal here is to fight the fight about what's happening in America. But at the same time, you know, Europe has been, you know, they've had an easier time getting these laws passed, Ted, because they live through the carnage created by these evil Jewish supremacists in the last 100 years.
Uh-huh.
And their memories during this past 25 years when these laws were being thrown onto these publics are still fresh in some ways. I mean, you cannot go anywhere in Europe and not be reminded of the carnage.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that we have to do is to encourage the idea in people that we no longer can be timid or nice or turn the other cheek concerning a legal system which is so aggressive and so punitive against Christianity, and it is locking itself into place, setting itself in concrete, especially in these countries without the benefit of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
They're here to stay. They're mean. They're tough. The penalties are exaggerated, usually at least triple penalties for so-called hate crimes. And what is lacking here is a wide public awareness of the imminent danger of this legislation, especially not only as a way of punishing Christians and of giving license to blaspheme Christians, but also when something like the Da Vinci Code is allowed to get to continue without resistance, and the people in Europe do not take advantage of the laws that are there on the book to their advantage, then what it does is it stimulates more of these kinds of abuses. Appeasement only increases the tyranny and arrogance of the dictator, the evil man, you see. And so what I'm doing, Daryl, is I'm trying to get units of people wherever I can find a position of advantage that we can educate these people, we can get some activism going on and working in their groups. I go at it full bore. I attempt to show them where their rights are, show them their window of opportunity, the light at the end of the tunnel that they can go toward in order to escape. Now, I realize that the Catholics, just like the evangelicals, suffer from a malaise. They suffer from apathy, fatalism, and so on. They do not realize that these evil Jewish leaders are their enemy. They don't know, realize who are behind hate laws and so on. But what we have to do right now is to trumpet, to stand on our particular wall, whatever that might be, and proclaim the enemy is coming. Not only the threat, but if we see a very powerful position of advantage emerging, as I'm describing this morning, we have to go forward and do our very best to publicize that and encourage these people to save themselves.
Well, you know, here in this country, I mean, I'm in the land of the most beautiful cathedrals on our planet, and some of these cathedrals are so shocking when you enter them that you can't even believe it, that that they were constructed, and even some, in some cases, how they did it. I mean, it's, they're amazing. And yet, the Catholic religion here has been, by and large, gutted. All the way back from the Jacobin days, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you take a look at history books, was a financed revolt by Rothschild interests back in the 1790s. And of course, the Catholic Church has been under assault in France by these same forces for centuries, Ted.
Yeah, I know it. Well, especially in France, the French Revolution was really a death knell to this vivid spirituality of the French people and French Catholics. Those cathedrals were built by common people, stone by stone, common masons and people carving those blocks out of granite with their hands. That's a powerful reminder of the once very, very strong focus and faith of the Roman Catholic Church.
Ted, have you read the book by Ken Follett, Pillars of the Earth?
No, I haven't.
By Ken Follett. It's a story about the building of French cathedrals by common men, and it's the most remarkable of books. It is about a 600-page book, and he's a wonderfully well-researched historian. And he wrote a story about how the public was so involved in their cathedral building, exactly as you're describing.
Yeah.
And it is a moving testament to the cathedrals that are all around me here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a single village you can't go into where you're not shocked by the beauty of their churches. So,
yeah.
And I'm telling you right now that the Catholics here in France are very rare these days. The older generation are still very tied to their religion, but the younger generation has been pushed away from it. And I probably think it's been pushed away by design.
Sure. Well, I got several emails from a Catholic priest in Germany who's pouring out his heart to me that also in Germany, Roman Catholicism is witheringly persecuted by these hate laws already. In fact, there is no pro-life movement to speak of, he says, in Germany, because it's now a hate crime to try to save the unborn. And it's the abortionist doctors are federally protected under the hate crimes laws. I also got another email from a man in Canada who says that the ADL up there is trying to include now abortionist doctors and staff under special federal protection of the hate laws, thus making the pro-life movement in Canada a hate crime. Well, what I'm saying here is there once was a very, very focused and powerful Catholic zeal and presence, and of course I disagree with them theologically, and if I had lived in that time, I would have opposed them maybe even on the battlefield, because I'm a child of the Puritan revolt and the Martin Luther and so on. Nevertheless, what I'm trying to do is to call Catholics, maybe the Catholics of the old guard before Vatican II, to get out there and remind themselves that the battlefield is still before them. They have something very tangible they can do with virtually zero risk of themselves also being indicted, and that is to go down to the police station, read the statutes, know what the law is, and then file charges, and also file lawsuits. If Catholic lawyers in Europe and Canada could come forward to become advocates for a real attack, a real tidal wave of grievances against the hate law system, using the hate law system against the Da Vinci Code, that's the light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Are you familiar with a man named Father Jean-Marie Benjamin?
No.
He was the Secretary of State of the Vatican for several years. I've been trying to get in touch with him. I got a phone number for him. I can't nail him down. I had intended to discuss this very subject with him.
Wonderful.
When I finally do get him on the phone.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff, Ted. You know, they vilified. Here's one of the funny things. They say that the world's Catholics are run by a black pope, and in other words, when you look behind who's writing this stuff, it's the same community of Jews.
Yeah.
Now we must make the caveat right now that it's not all Jews, because there is an element within Zionist Judaism that is foisting these terrible lies upon the Christian community and the world. and not all Jews, because I know people in the Jewish community who don't know anything about this stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, if you put it before them, they'd shake their head and say, that's not possible.
That's right.
Well, so, you know, when I say that, no, it is possible, they still can't believe me, because they can't believe that somebody would be doing things like this in their name.
That's right, and they are very afraid of these evil Jewish leaders. I was just on yesterday with Jack McLam, Officer Jack McLam on
yeah.
Genesis. In fact, I'm on again with him today at 5 o'clock Pacific time on GCN Live, where we'll continue this discussion. But he says he has a number of fine Jewish police officers and military personnel who are terrified of the ADL. They'll go out into combat. They'll go out on the streets of L.A. against street gangs and exchange gunfire. But he says they're terrified of the ADL. And they emphasize that they are not represented, and many, many Jews are not represented by these evil Jewish leaders. And you see, what we have here is this stuff with the Da Vinci Code and the Book of Daniel and the Gospel of Judas, all of this stuff is coming from what's called organized world Jewry. And if you go to the B'nai B'rith website, you'll find a preliminary statement there on their homepage in which they claim that they are the voice of organized world Jewry. Now, organized world Jewry is a minority. There's about 500,000 Jews who are members of B'nai B'rith. They have something like 2,100 lodges and chapters worldwide. But this organized Jewry, this minority, which does not speak necessarily for the vast majority of Jews, they are the killer bees. They are the aggressive Jewish activists who though a minority, have found themselves or brought themselves to positions of tremendous influence in the media and government and Congress and finance and even leading movements such as the abortion movement and the homosexuality movement and so on. Let me just, before I forget, let me just read you, give you a description of the publishers who are behind the Da Vinci Code. I'll just read a little bit here out of one of my latest e-alerts. I say the largest Jewish publishing houses reap staggering profits from sales of Da Vinci Code books. The Jewish Joel Klein is chairman of American operations of Bertelsmann AG. Now, Bertelsmann AG is the biggest, largest publishing conglomerate in the whole world. It's
yeah.
German.
Yeah.
But these big
well, they also own BMG International, which is also music and
yeah,
DVDs.
Right. Okay, anyway, these big Jewish publishing houses have subsumed themselves under the tremendous promotional and distribution of advantages of Bertelsmann. Now, Random House is, of course, a venerable Jewish publishing house. Of course, the Encyclopedia Judaica, in its article on publishing, confirms that clearly. And it's part of this consortium now under Bertelsmann, benefiting tremendously. And Random House owns the rights to produce all large print copies of the Da Vinci Code worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a division of Random House, Doubleday own rights to produce all regular print and special collector's editions of the book. And then finally, Anchor Books, which the Judaica also confirms is Jewish, is also a subsidiary of Random House, and they complete this Jewish monopoly by printing all paperback copies. Now, that's just kind of the starters here, because Jewish-controlled magazines also have tremendously hyped the code over the last months. Some 50 popular magazines, including Time, Life, and People, are owned by Time Warner, with a Jewish Norman Perlstein, the editor-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Newsweek is published by the Jewish Donald Graham, who owns the Washington Post.
Yeah.
And then there are articles, of course, too numerous to mention, from other Jewish-controlled newspapers. These include the Samuel Newhouse chain and Parade Magazine, the New York Times, Boston Globe, New York Review of Books, The Village Voice, etc.
So they went on a full-court press, is what they did, to promote this lie as written by Dan Brown. Now, Mr. Brown's participation after the writing, has there been any participation from him, and what are his associations to this group, if any?
Well, he's given public statements. Oh, this is just a story. You know, this is not anti-Christianity and so on.
And that's not what they've been promoting, though. They're trying to make it seem, in all of its promotion, that this is a probability.
Yeah, you go to the book right on the front couple pages. It says that this Priory of Zion. Priory of Sion, which was supposedly a secret society, including Leonard da Vinci, Isaac Newton, and so on, is a historical fact. When actually the truth of the matter is that the Priory of Sion was a complete fabrication by Pierre Plantard, who introduced into the Bibliothèque Nationale in France all these forged documents. He was convicted of fraud. There's no truth whatever. But here he is. Dan Brown, right in the first couple pages, giving the impression that there has existed this continuous tradition throughout history that Mary Magdalene was the daughter of Jesus Christ. Now, when we write fiction...
Well, the wife of...
Yes, the wife of Jesus Christ. Now, when an honorable fiction writer writes fiction, he has tremendous margin and leeway, of course, to fantasize within the facts of history.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not have the right to create benchmark distortions of history in order to facilitate his fictional fantasy. For example, he doesn't have the right to say that William Conqueror came over and crossed the English Channel in 1166 instead of 1066. That's false. That creates a distortion and perverts the education and the history of mankind. It's just anarchy to mess around with facts like that. And that's exactly what Brown is doing here. But again, though,
you said in the beginning, I mean, Brown says this is a fiction, and they're not promoting it as what he has actually come out and stated publicly.
No, it's an unprecedented compromise, a kind of a hybrid between blatant lies. And, I mean, right in there, he has this one academic saying that the Catholic Church killed 5 million women during its history. Just absolutely preposterous lies like that. And the average person doesn't know the difference, you see.
Well, I do know that in the southern area of France, in the Cathar region, they did go to war with the Roman Catholic Church over the growth of the Cathars, and the Cathars were actually did battle with Rome for 150 years or longer, and built huge castles, battlements, in fact, trying to save themselves. Now, in that war, not 5 million, but 30,000 died.
Oh yeah. There was a bloody time.
But, I mean, 30,000 is not 5 million.
No, it certainly is not. And yet, you see, what we have here is... Abe Foxman wrote a recent book, which I've commented on. It's called Never Again, The Threat of the New Anti-Semitism. And he goes after the Catholic Church for a couple of chapters just absolutely in a rabid manner. The ADL people are really out to destroy Roman Catholicism. And you see, the Catholic Church doesn't have this tradition that the evangelicals do of babying and pampering the Jews the way we do. It's true in the last several decades that the Pope has made some pretty outlandish accommodations to the Jews as far as... admitting a Christian guilt and complicity and so on, and even giving them to a certain extent their own right to...
Which makes me wonder what kind of infiltration has been done at the very top of the church in the last 10 or 15 years.
The church is sick. The Catholic Church is sick. It's reeling. And, of course, all these lawsuits against the pedophile priests are just almost the last straw. So the church is in an extremely embattered... a battered condition, and it's kind of like a pack of killer whales gathering around a gray whale or something and savaging it and biting huge chunks out of it. We've seen some footage of that in the ocean, and the sea is red as these killer whales realize the vulnerability of this great cow of a gray whale. Now, that's what where the Catholic Church is right now, and what I'm trying to do is to persuade Catholics worldwide to muster themselves once again to take advantage of this powerful opportunity to strike back, not only for the present, but let me tell you, having made so much progress against the Catholic Church, the ADL B'nai B'rith people, they're going to do it again and again and again and again until they can really, really bring the Catholic Church down and also a Protestant Christianity in the wake of that.
Well, you know, Ted, it's one of the other conversations we had recently is about the goodness of people, judging people by character and not by the color of their skin, and judging people by the acts that they make in present time. And in other words, we try to judge people based upon the goodnesses that we find in them and not so much the surface of a human being's body certainly is not what the Christians believe ascends to heaven, is it?
Absolutely not. No.
We have a problem here when we take a look at saying that Christianity is not for everyone based upon what race you might have come from.
Well, of course not. And what these evil Jewish leaders have been doing through their promotion of the world revolutionary movement through the full last two centuries is they are attempting to divide the elements of Christian society and Western civilization.
Yeah,
And what the ADL does is to heighten its sensitivities about race, saying that prejudice is a very, very, very bad thing. In fact, it's so bad, those who are prejudiced or those who are biased and commit some kind of bias crimes should go to prison three times longer for being biased against the person that they gave a black eye to or whatever. You see, the ADL is interested in finding any kind of wedges that it can discover to part and separate and fragment Christian capitalistic civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So the primary objective of the Marxist communist message, especially throughout the last century, has been to go out and search grievances and real and imagined faults that have been done, damage that's been done against you in your time or against history and so on. And, of course, society, imperfect as our world is, society is full of historical injustices and grievances that these Marxist revolutionaries can find out. And then their purpose is to fan those grievances unnaturally, to rub raw these wounds, especially wounds of the past. And so
the Reconquista comes to mind, this latest round of nonsense on the borders.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, they're trying to foment a backlash among the Hispanic communities of the Southwest against white America and then turn each other against one another and say, you know, it's your fault, that it's the white's fault that they're in that situation, and the whites say it's your fault, and what we've got is two groups of people penned up against one another.
Exactly.
But the battle was staged by this group behind the scenes.
Exactly, you see. And so the ADL people have a vested interest in not only finding grievances among the Indians, the blacks, the women, the homosexuals, the Chicanos, the Japanese Americans, whatever they can dredge up, but they're also interested in creating a backlash to that, actually stimulating and participating in white reaction, white outrage, white fanaticism in a racistic way against those very groups that have been victims of injustice. And they encourage back bad behavior on the part of blacks. They encourage abrasive behavior on the part of Indians and Chicanos.
And listen to this one, Ted. The rap phenomenon with the most degradative lyric and perverseness that you could imagine coming out on the screens across America to our youth are pretty much controlled by the same group that we talked about, the Bertelsmann Group and the Time Warner Group. It's the same group that is foisting this sick gold-toothed rapper nonsense all over the place.
Time Warner is solidly behind the gangster rap phenomena with all of its profanity and sexual immorality, and also its murderous, actual murderous lyrics against whites and so on.
Yep.
So, you see, what we have to do is realize that these evil people are masters of playing both sides and stimulating strife. The World Revolutionary Jewish Communist Movement literally wants to get us coming and going. They want to control both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that brings up the subject of the white supremacists and the white nationalists and so on. Now, I have sold literally thousands of books and videos to all these people over the years.
Yeah.
They love me. They love me because I tell the truth about the evil Jewish octopus that is the source of all these evil tentacles that are going out into society.
But they seem to miss this connection, don't they, in often cases?
But I have to remind them that the primary issue which is most threatening to our civilization, believe it or not, is not the issue of race. It's not even primarily the issue of immigration right now, but it's this pervasive Zionist overlay in the media and government and finance and the military and military adventurism in the Middle East, all of this. You see, we have to keep our eyes exactly where that eye of the octopus is and try to send our javelins into that eye rather than descending to chopping on tentacles. Now I understand the white separatist point of view very well. I received volumes and volumes of literature from them over the years. They appreciate what I'm doing and so on. And I am not interested in offending them, but I am interested, very, very interested, in letting them know that true Christianity has, instead of an abrasive effect and an exacerbating effect upon these racial differences, it has an effect of creating true tolerance and true love and true ability to work together and true ability to understand differences in race and differences of temperament and differences of point of view, so that we can work together as a nation to be united rather than divided in opposing the conspiratorial agitation of these evil Jewish activists, you see. Now, when it comes to the point when these white separatists say, well, I don't want to work with the blacks, I want to send them back to Africa, that I say is taking it too far, because in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit sent Philip immediately as a powerful sign to an Ethiopian eunuch. That's a black eunuch, an official of the Queen of Ethiopia, explaining the gospel, and this man was extremely curious and very, very thankful and became a Christian there. And we find so many examples like that in Scripture.
Is that Coptic Church, the beginnings?
I believe it was pretty much close to the
when the Coptics were actually brought into Christianity was by that act from Philip, I believe.
That's right. That's right. And you see, what we have here in Christianity is the idea that all people, despite the color of their skins, are made in the image of God. Whether you're an Aborigine in Australia or you are an executive in Trump power, you are still equal before Almighty God. You have a soul which is equal to every other's as far as your legal and spiritual privileges before God. Now, when color, the color of the skin becomes a barrier, and we cannot see that, and we cannot love our neighbor as ourselves anymore, then the whole idea of Christianity has been perverted. We're getting into a racist mentality. Now, here's the tragedy of the racist mentality, is that it's a delight to these evil Jewish leaders.
Because that's right.
It creates a straw man. It creates an effigy with a white hood and Gothic crosses and burning crosses and so on. It creates a straw man that they can purposely run their swords through, dramatize, create a racial, ethnic, religious stereotype, which they can use as cannon fodder, as grist for their own mills.
That's right.
Now, what I'm doing, here's what I'm doing, which is throwing such a terrible monkey wrench into the ADL agenda, is I'm coming and I'm saying, basically I'm saying that the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit given to men when they turn their lives over to Jesus Christ is so great that it can elevate any black person, any Chicano, any Indian, to spiritual victory and power and anointing in this world. So we don't have to talk about the IQ and intelligence or natural gifts or natural intelligence anymore. That's some of those things may be true, but it's beneath me. It's beneath Christ. It's beneath Christianity. Get it all involved in that and make that a sensitive issue. Instead, we join hands together against this common enemy in purity of heart and love, unfeigned love toward the brethren. You see, I am commanded by God to love a black man just as much as myself. I am commanded to love a Jew just as much as myself. You see, and that is such a wonderfully soothing and ennobling aspect to this whole conflict-ridden situation we're here experiencing in the world today. And if even one atom of that truth were prevailing in Israel today and in the Muslim world today, the Jews and the Arabs would not be hitting and hitting back for generations after generation, contributing to a possible Armageddon.
But they were never doing that in advance of the Jewish community that we're talking about, this evil Jewish community, going and creating this hatred, because Jews have lived in harmony in many North African major cities, in Tripoli and, of course, in Tangiers and in Morocco. They've always had the Jewish quarter. They've never had problems. Not until this group began to stir the pot of hatred.
That's right. And going all the way back to Muhammad, the Jews virtually rejoiced in Islam in its beginning, because the Jews were very anti-Christian, the Muslims were anti-Christians, and it's a well-documented fact that Jews assisted the spread of Islam. They became scouts and middlemen, bankers for the Muslim phenomena in the 7th, 8th, 9th centuries and so on. So, yes, you're absolutely right.
But isn't it their way, though? See, listen, Ted, the country that served, that was the kindest the Jews had ever known, was Germany in advance of World War I.
Uh-huh.
And they were welcomed there. They were given equal status in society. They were given access to highest levels of the government. And what happened was they turned on these folks and created hatred around the world, left the country en masse. Yeah. Set themselves up. Now, they had done this earlier, before Germany. They had done this in England. They have done this in Spain. They had done. Now they're doing it in America, and they're imploding the United States, and they're going to leave America. And we've given them anointed status in America, and all of a sudden they're going to turn. They've turned on America. They're going to suck us dry,
yeah,
and then leave us to die on the vine like they did to Germany.
Right.
And it's happening over and over again. It's almost the same M.O. as the 1933 M.O. of Untermeyer. If you read Mr. Untermeyer's speech to his congregation of Zionist murderers, you can read that this guy, that the Germans were not anti-Semitic in advance of the boycotts that were placed upon their nation.
Yeah.
This was a fabricated hatred and a fabricated event to a country they had been welcomed in.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty close description of America today, especially the evangelicals who have been devotees of Judaism and Israel and Zionism over the last century. And American evangelicals believe, you know, they believe in the Jews. Oh, do they believe in the Jews? They love these Jewish leaders, but they are not believed in or loved by these Jewish leaders in return. And what we're seeing today is a heightening of these attacks. As Rabbi Lapin warned the church last summer, these evil Jewish leaders are now in relentless attack upon Christianity. It's a marvel to me that Lapin can say a public statement like that before millions and millions of Pentecostals around the world, and yet many of these will be very suspicious of me if I make the same statement. Certainly, if they don't want to listen to me as a Christian, they should listen to this Orthodox rabbi who's reminding them of who their true enemy is today. But as I was mentioning just a little earlier, I have a completely different curveball that I am throwing against them now, and they don't know what to do about it. Neither the evangelicals nor the Jews are criticizing me because they're trying to figure out how to handle this new agenda. And the truth of the matter is that my so-called new agenda is nothing more than my attempt to perfectly copy the attitude of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets, which was to speak out boldly against evil Jewish leaders at the leading of the Lord, and yet not forget the place of the Jewish people in God's great plan of the ages. And there are lots of people today who want to speak out against the Jews, you know, the far right, racialists and so on, are glad to bash the Jews, but they do not have this other component, which is this far-ranging biblical compassion and benevolence toward the Jewish people. I believe that we're in a down cycle of deep and deep dark Jewish apostasy as a result of the Jews following evil Jewish leaders and rejecting Christ for 2,000 years. But the testimony, the resounding testimony of the Scriptures is that even out of this kind of apostasy and darkness and even corrupting of the nations, this whole experiment in Palestine is going to collapse and implode as the Antichrist turns on the Jews and terribly decimates them, and out of their total disillusionment and near death and extinction as a nation, when Jesus Christ returns, a remnant will look upon him whom their fathers pierced, and they will mourn, and they'll turn back to Jesus Christ. Now, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, which keeps me going, and which irradiates and enlightens my whole attitude toward the Jewish people. The ADL can't handle that. They want to turn me into a racist and a bigot and homophobe and all this kind of thing, but this biblical moderation and perspective which the Holy Spirit gives to me through the Scriptures and by giving my life entirely to him gives a power, an irresistible power to my message, which has really never been seen before in modern times.
Well, what you know, my take on this is that I believe there are good and bad in all groups, Ted, and it's been my experience in this life that there are good people in Jewish groups as well as in Catholic and Protestant and all the different groups of the world and Hindu,
yes.
Good and bad. And the fact is, and then there are people who are maybe deceived, and they're acting in negative, bad ways because of deception. But the fact of the matter is, and the best example I can give is the American public backing a carnage in a country that did nothing to us, and they're doing it believing that somehow this country did something to us. In other words, they've been deceived. And of course, what we have to do is separate this deception from evil. And some of these people that are believing in this Iraqi thing, they're not evil. They're just dupes.
Yes.
And I say to myself, okay, you know, there my friendships in the Jewish community, they date back to my childhood, and they're still strong today. And I know it's not a religious thing for these people. It's a question of having been lied to and these people believing it, or in some cases, they're not courageous enough to actually make a foray toward the truth, make an effort toward the truth, because they're afraid. As you pointed out earlier, you know, a lot of these Jewish policemen, they're afraid to fight back because of the repercussions. I sit here every day. Of course, you know, I'm getting attacked from every side myself, and you know, it's interesting to note that my guest list has been decimated by people calling them up and saying, "Don't go on their show." Or you know you'll be marginalized. This has happened to many people.
I've received that too.
Yeah, you got that too. And the simple fact is, it's not silencing the message, Ted. What it is instead doing for me is letting us know that we're actually hurting them.
Yes.
And this is really the goal here: to inform and to do as much exposing of this group as I possibly can. You know, and I've got recent attacks against me where they've called my wife. They say my wife's black, and I guess that's to stir up hatred from this white supremacist group.
Oh.
And you know, my wife's not black, Ted, but it wouldn't matter if she were. But she's not. And here's the interesting thing: this is how low they will stoop.
Yeah.
I mean, how low does someone have to go before you say you know, you're at the bottom? I mean, it's like being a They're coming from the belly of underbelly of a snake. I can't even believe some of the stuff.
They're also coming from fear. You see, there's such a thing as critical mass. For example, in rain clouds, when the precipitation becomes unbearably heavy and condensed. Then it begins to condense. It begins to fall, and nothing can keep that water from responding to the power of gravity and coming to the ground. Well, that's kind of what we have here in the world today. As this evil Jewish leadership becomes more and more brazen and blatant and persecutive and strident, more and more people are listening to your message and to my message. And even the evangelicals, I mean, I have been pilloried. 20 years ago, I was savaged for 2.5 afternoons on a local Salem media station here, a Christian station in the Northwest. The talk show host had never seen my video, had never read my book, but he had enough ammunition to attack me for 2.5 hours before literally hundreds of thousands of people on that mega station here in the Northwest. That's the kind of persecution I'm used to as a result of speaking the whole truth on this subject.
Yeah.
And yet, what is going on now is a phenomena. The ADL is silent as the grave about me. They won't say a word about me. The evangelicals are silent also. No articles, no criticism from evangelical leaders against me. In fact, I have a pretty good idea that many of them are getting my email alerts. They're listening to what I'm saying. They're privately admitting that what I'm saying is right on. It's the truth. And yet they're terrorized because for the last century they've made their bed with the Zionists. They've committed themselves and their 25 million followers or so to this point of view.
Yeah.
And it's like a military general launching Napoleon deciding to go into Russia and then getting cold feet and turning back. You can't do that. Once you commit yourself to mobilize and the credits come out of the congresses and the military machine is mobilized, you know, you better just kill yourself if you're the general, because you can't turn around and go back. And that's the way it is with these evangelical leaders now, Falwell and Hagee and all of them.
Yeah.
They have gone too far downriver. And yet, I cry out and I continue to take advantage whenever these evil Jewish leaders go too far and launch their latest savagery on Christianity. I get the emails going out by the tens of thousands, and we are speaking to the nation in an unprecedented way.
Yes. Well, you know something, Ted, I got to tell you that when Eric and I started really breaking open the subject of world Zionism back in, well, it's going on 10 months ago. We couldn't get any traction anywhere, and then all of a sudden we started seeing cracks in the veneer. And
right.
Somewhere around October, the end of October, we began to see people becoming worried that we were getting traction. And this is when Eric and I both know. We talked about it. We said, "Man, we're starting to get some traction on this." And but now it's not just traction. We've shifted the debate in many of these talk shows. And you've been a big part of it, because I've repeatedly had you on to augment the message along with many others. But you've been a big part of it.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is we've got an inertia happening here.
Uh-huh.
where they don't know what to do with us except to threaten away the people that might want to help us. And that's basically all they can do at the moment. They can't do it in their own court of public opinion because their message doesn't ring true.
Yeah. Well, even talk radio is changing so much. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was interviewed by Joyce Riley.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got 45 minutes into the program, and the Jewish manager, station manager, butt in and told, he said, "Reverend Pike, we're pulling the plug on you," because I was basically saying that Israel was the marionette, the puppeteer who was leading America into its ambitions in the Middle East. Anyway, that I was thrown off a major alternative network after 45 minutes. 4 or 5 years ago. Now there is no question that I'll be able to say everything that I want to say on virtually any of these right wing networks. Things have changed. I think, Daryl, a definitive parting in the ways came with the arrest of the Philadelphia 11.
Well, that was a seminal moment in this fight, and I interviewed you right after that, Ted.
That's right. And since then, Actually, in the last 2 years, I'm approaching 300 interviews that I've done, largely on alternative talk radio. In fact, I'll be doing two today. I did two yesterday, more coming, and so on. And most of these, I'm not even soliciting now. I have a reputation for truth-telling and documentation and getting these and so on. So this is a new ball game. It's a window of opportunity, which I believe we have to continue to widen because these evil Jewish leaders are working night and day to find some way to make this so-called cyber hate not fit for appearing on the Internet. Of course, child pornography, homosexuality, all of that is okay, but not speaking the truth about Israel.
That's right. And, you know, that's what our future holds for us, ladies and gentlemen. So this whole battle is far from over, and we need every one of you out there that can hear this message to actually redouble your efforts at getting this out to your friends, out to the Christian community, out to the people who are going to suffer the most, and that is the people on the margins of our society, both from black communities, Hispanic communities, and white communities, who have very little cushion when this next battle, which they're staging right now, Ted, it's going to be financial. Of course, they're pulling the rug out from under America's financial muscle. They've gutted our economy. They've destroyed the value of our currency. They've debased everything that they possibly can. And the next thing is going to be some terrible suffering at a level Americans are not used to. And, of course, the people who are going to be injured first are the ones that are in the trenches fighting amongst each other. They're the ones who've been sheepled off into little pens, the white pen, the black pen, the Hispanic pen, and they're fighting amongst themselves rather than the real people doing it. And they're going to be the ones hurt the most. And this is why I think I've taken such a strong stand on these issues. And, you know, Ted, I got to tell you, you're one of the people in my Rolodex that, you know, geez, when we get on the radio, it just clicks. I don't have, you know, I don't take a put a single note on my desk before this. I don't. Not a single. I just know it's going to pop all the way across the conversation because this is coming from inside of me. This is not something I have to fabricate. This is coming from me and from you. I know it's real.
Yes. Well, although we have different theological perspectives, the fact is that this is such an obvious threat, an overwhelming threat to all freedom, all Christian civilization, that your basic rationality leads you to virtually the same conclusions and puts us on the same wavelength. I should just mention also that one of the reasons I need to educate the people, the American people, people throughout the world, concerning these evil Jewish leaders is because if we do have a mega financial crash, there's going to be anti-Semitism, in my opinion, such as we have never seen, as people attack the Jews collectively for bringing these woes upon civilization. What I want to do is prepare the world in case of that emergency so that they will know who to properly blame.
Yep.
Properly blame the evil Jewish leaders who masterminded the Depression of 1929, but don't go out and start smashing windows of your local butcher shop and in suburban houses in your local neighborhood and local synagogues and so on.
You see? That's right.
And so my efforts really are to, you see, as I mentioned before, I do believe, I agree with you, that the Jews, just like every group, are not all bad. And
that's
very congruent with the biblical position. The biblical position is there a predestined remnant of Jews who someday will come to their senses and will turn toward the light and become illustrious defenders of Jesus Christ in this world. That's the message of which I focus upon, and my duty is to protect that remnant, that theoretical predestined remnant, even if it should exist today, from the kind of persecution which could come upon them in case of international financial disaster. So my message is transparently benevolent toward the Jewish people, just like the Hebrew prophets was, but it is vehement and relentless against those evil false leaders, those scribes and Pharisees, that evil Sanhedrin, which have been leading them into a ditch throughout the millennia.
Well, I agree that we have, and Eric and I, we our job is to identify the names, the people, where they are, what they've done, who they are. I mean, we've chronologized, we've listed, we've talked about, we've exposed who these people are. We put names and faces to them. We did that today with the directors of Sony, with the directors of Bertelsmann, with the directors of Time Warner. Look, these are people's names that you need to commit to your memory so that the evil leadership of this group can be exposed for who they are. Now, I discussed today too, Ted, that you know, this Bilderberg group that is meeting up in Canada has many Christians in it going there, but they are not the top of this pyramid of control. There is a group above that Bilderberger group, and it is predominantly and exclusively, not predominantly, exclusively Jewish.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we take a look at the facts as they lay out here, we do need to be careful about who we injure in this next round, because we may not be on the radio anymore with these interviews come sometime soon here, Ted.
Right.
But these files will live on beyond us because they are honest, they are factual, they are well researched, and they're based upon my goodwill toward every single group in the world, with the exception of this of the leadership of who's taking us down this terrible path.
Yes.
And I want to thank you, Ted. We've done over an hour of solid discussion here. We of course you'll be re-invited for further discussions on other subjects, and I do contact you regularly. I let the listeners know to kind of mill around some information and see what we can't drum up as far as a new subject. And there'll always be new subjects to plumb here. And I want to thank you for being a part of this discussion today, Ted.
Well, thank you so much, Daryl. And just remind the folks out there, if you come to truthtellers.org, I usually have a new hot article, at least one or two every week.
Mm-hmm.
And especially having to do with this Da Vinci Code. Come there, see the actual documentation for the Jewish media moguls who are promoting this blasphemy.
Well, and you'll find if you just click on Ted's name on the interview, you'll also go to Truth Tellers. We'll put a direct link on top with your name on it. Your books are on our site already, so we already have several links on there, but we'll put another one just for good measure. And I appreciate it, Ted, for you doing this with me today, and I look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Thanks, Ted. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Reverend Ted Pike, and this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying goodbye for today, and be well. Bye-bye.